This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Over 500,000 Americans suffer from multiple sclerosis, and interestingly enough, women are twice as susceptible as men to actually developing this disorder. And while the cause of MS is unknown, there really are some predictable factors that appear to significantly increase the chance of developing this life-changing disease. Well, thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and I chose the topic of multiple sclerosis for a couple of reasons. One is that I've noticed as a medical intuitive in my readings over the last year in particular that I'm seeing an increase of people who are actually calling me to find out more about MS and about the underlying causes or the potential causes. And then also because medicine, when that diagnosis is basically presented, there's a lot of grimness about it and a lot of hope that seems to be taken away. And I found that as a medical intuitive looking at things holistically, then I can see that if we can look at it from that perspective, meaning many different levels, then we can choose a level that we can really feel like we can participate in, take control of, and be able to really be the difference maker in how this MS, or in, for that matter, any disease that we're dealing with, is going to be impacting us. So I chose it for that reason, just because of the increase that I've seen of this diagnosis, and then also the fact that Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne's son Jack was actually just diagnosed with MS. And one of the things that in listening to an interview with Sharon that every mother will do is they mothers go in and think, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? Was I too stressed, or did I not eat the right foods, or if I was taking over the counter drugs, would that maybe have caused it? And that's that gut-wrenching part that happens with MS, because MS isn't just a single family member that's impacted by it. It is all of the family that is impacted by it, and siblings as well, because they really don't know if they too are in jeopardy of contracting this particular disease or disorder. And you'll hear me talk about it being an illness, a disease, and a disorder throughout the show. And the reason that I use those different words in my world as a medical intuitive, illness really refers to that holism that comes from anything that's a malfunction or breakdown, degeneration in the physical body. And in that illness perspective, we're not only looking at the physical aspects of it, but we're looking at the psychological aspects of maybe there was fear or anger or sadness, or there was resentment or feelings of hopelessness or helplessness that was happening at the time, even before the illness came forward, and then looking at it energetically. Disease is really a clinical term used by allopathic medicine as a term to describe what the actual pathology, meaning the actual issue is, the diagnosis is. And then disorder really looks at things from, again, a different perspective, still with that holistic perspective, but a disorder from the standpoint that does it impact a lot of other parts of the body as well. And so that's why you'll hear me maybe bounce around depending on where I'm talking about MS, as far as whether I'm looking at it as an illness, a disease, or a disorder. And one of the things, again, as a medical intuitive, I really do find in the work that I do is that once we can get a picture of what's going on, kind of that whole picture that I associate with the illness aspect of it, then what we can do is we can take that whole picture and we can start working on it again, any place that we feel that we're strong enough to do that, or we can see how things are connected. And if we change one part, maybe the energy, chakra balancing, maybe it's changing the way that we look at life, our attitudes, our outlook on life in general, then that's going to pick up our spirits. That's going to actually, we know, from the research that I've done and working with doctors is that we know that attitude and your perspective on life has a lot to do with the type of illnesses that you're going to develop in the physical body. So again, it's just talking about MS from a variety of perspectives. And then what I'm going to be doing is sharing as a medical intuitive how I look at illness from the standpoint of having those psychological roots. And those roots can form very early in life. And in fact, I was doing a reading the other day with a person who is 56 years old that is dealing with some health issues, where we actually were able, through tapping into his energy the way that he was so open to allow me to do, that we really started seeing some of the psychological predisposition for his particular diagnosis starting at age 5. Now, the purpose of sharing that isn't to say to someone, oh my gosh, you've been doing this since you were 5, you're 56. I mean, shame on you for doing that. That's not what this is intended. But in his particular case, and I hope in all of the work that I do, is to let you know that this has been going on for a long time. And if we can recognize that as being something that's there, a pattern of behavior, then we can change it. And the other thing is just because you woke up one morning and you got a diagnosis doesn't mean that it has to be that aggressive, progressive type of illness. If it took a long time for it to develop, it could possibly take a long time for it to really become a problem. So there's multiple ways to look at it. So throughout the show, I'm going to be talking about MS. I'm going to be talking about the hidden meanings of it, also about the energetics behind it. And then in the second part of the show, I'm going to be actually offering some suggestions and some healing modalities that can actually help relieve the effect of MS, or in many cases, be able to keep it, especially if it's a regressive type of MS, be able to keep it to a place where it doesn't go into that progressive state. In addition to all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about today's show topic or a question in general, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. and Canada and also for international callers. Just dial your international calling code. And then 877-230-3062. First and foremost, it's important to know that MS is a degenerative disease of the central nervous system. And it basically, what it does is it causes an electrical problem in the body, meaning that the electrical impulses that are created in the brain aren't able to travel effectively throughout the nerves to the different parts of the body. Now, normally, these nerves are protected by a myelin sheathing, and it's kind of like, I always give the visual is, it's like having a copper wire that has a plastic wrapping around it. That's really what the nerves have in the myelin sheathing, is it has that wrap around it that protects those nerves from any kind of damage. When we begin degenerative diseases, or maybe an injury has occurred to a nerve in our body, what'll happen is those myelin sheathings can actually get this little bit of a cut in it. And those little cuts, kind of like if you were to take a wire and just by, you know, accident snip it and just put a little splice in it, then what happens is the body, in its way that it's designed and its exquisiteness of healing, can go in and deal with those little slices and basically cause that slice to be able to heal over and not to create a problem, while the message from the brain from electrically may not be as effective when there's that slice. Once that slice heals, then the nerve message is supposed to, the message is, gets to the nerve, and the nerve then responds accordingly. Now, what happens in the case of MS is that myelin sheathing actually starts to degenerate to the point where it creates gaps along that nerve itself. And because of it being a gap, those gaps aren't able to heal the way that the body is designed to do. So as a result, where it isn't able to heal, it creates something like a lesion, is what it's called. And so what you'll get is you'll get a message coming down the brain into that nerve, and it'll go full speed ahead, fast and furious, and then it hits this gap. And because it doesn't have that coating, the gap then causes that electrical message to start to dissipate. And then maybe it gets to the other side of that gap and boom, it kicks right in again. But the message isn't as strong as what the brain is sending it. And it hits that area where there's the myelin sheathing that's healthy and the message continues on. In the case of MS, what occurs is that the nerves themselves in specific areas of the body, usually it has to do, first of all, with the lower trunk area, has to do with the legs, and then also can be in the shoulders and the arms. And what occurs is those nerves, then that degeneration continues in the case of MS to the point where the message comes in, hits that blank spot, hits another spot where it has this sheathing around it, hits another blank spot to the point that in these lesions that occur along that nerve, what will happen is the message from the brain, by the time it gets down to the movement of the muscle to be able to animate and move the leg or the arm, then what will occur is the message is so weak when it gets there, then it's not able to really say to that muscle, move, this is what needs to be done. And as a result, we get muscle weakness based on the number of lesions that we have. Now, in this particular case with myelin sheathing, what it does is what really creates the degeneration of the sheathing itself isn't so much injury like it would be with that little splice, but actually that sheathing becomes inflamed, and it's that inflammation that causes it to break down. And what that breakdown does is also cause inflammation in the nerve itself. So now we have a nerve that isn't getting the message the way it needs, but the nerve is inflamed, so we get a lot of the pain that's associated with MS from that particular standpoint. What basically is happening is that, again, we don't really know the exact cause of MS, but what we do know is that when the brain reads that this message, electrical message, isn't doing what it's supposed to do, the brain really elicits the help of the immune system. The immune system seeks out the area that's been damaged and creates an inflammatory response trying to protect that particular area so no more harm will be done to it. But what occurs is the immune system actually, in its wanting to be helpful, actually attacks the myelin sheathing and as a result creates a problem because it doesn't recognize what it's doing. It just knows that it's supposed to protect it. And then as a result, it starts to break this sheathing down to the point, and the immune system basically turns on the nervous system. This is something that occurs many, many times, even in the muscle structure with other types of illnesses. Repeated bouts of this inflammation produce the scarring that I was talking about, or lesions. And as a result, the scarring, once it's there, then the immune system says, okay, well, I've done my job. There's nothing else to be done. And then it will go back into that state of quietness, just waiting for the next alarm or the next signal from the brain to go in and say, oh, now we have a problem further down the nerve. And then that's what causes MS to become degenerative. The results from what happens with these breakdowns in the electrical messages is that it's weakness in the limb. There can be blurred vision and slurred speech, a staggering gait. Many people will develop tremors. There's dizziness, tingling or numbness, extreme fatigue, and difficulty breathing. MS usually occurs in people between the age of 25 and 40. And the thing with it is that when someone has MS at that age, then there is a potential for a reoccurrence. It is rare for anyone over the age of 60 or 65, depending on what research that you read. It's most people over that age will not develop MS, male or female, unless they actually had a predisposition or bouts of this degeneration of the sheathing itself between the ages of 25 and 40. The first attack of MS might be mild and brief, and it might not even be recognized as being MS, because what it does is it mimics fatigue and then a muscle weakness. And then what occurs after that is that then if there's consecutive bouts with it, then what will occur is that the breakdown will continue to become a problem. There are basically four categories of MS. There's the benign case, and these cases are usually limited to just one attack. There's the relapse remitting, which is a form of MS that is actually cyclic, meaning that it's kind of an on and off again situation. And there can be gaps of intervals, maybe months and even years before there'll be that reoccurrence. And then there's relapse progressive. And this is the type of MS that there, again, the attacks are less severe, but the recovery from the MS and this particular relapse progressive is that it's less complete and it does leave the body vulnerable to the cumulative effects that happen with the breakdown of the myelin sheathing. And then there's something called chronic progressive, and this form of MS actually has no periods of remission, so the inflammation is constantly working on the nerve itself, and again, rather than helping the nerve, it's creating this degeneration of the sheathing itself, and it can do this to the point where the scarring becomes so pervasive that there's a total inability for the nerve to even accept the message at the spinal cord, let alone get it to the end of the muscle itself. When we go in, and I said that we really don't know what causes the MS, I found as a medical intuitive and the work that I do and the research I do around the various illnesses that I work with people is that I find that there seems to be a common theme that the cause of something is really unknown. So that's what really led me to say, okay, well, if the cause of it physically is unknown and we can't quite connect the dots that we need to, then maybe we need to look at it from a more holistic perspective. But there are some things that we do know. We do know that people who have a genetic predisposition for multiple sclerosis within their family lineage will have a higher predisposition to developing MS themselves. We also, in the latest research, have found that herpes virus is also a major contributor, and including in that herpes virus is also the Epstein-Barr virus has a major impact on it because of the way that impacts the response of the immune system itself. Reactions to chemical pollutants, including lead and metals such as mercury, pesticides, diesel fuel, solvents, fumes from a domestic gas water heater, and even carbon monoxide. There's strong research now that's showing that that's a potential cause of it. Excess saturated fats in the system, such as what happens in the case of hypoglycemia, and is specifically vitamin B12 deficiency, which is tied to stress, tied to burnout, tied to depression, also seems to be a contributing factor, and we're now finding research that food allergies also have a contributing factor. Chronic stress is something that, you know, it's kind of a catch-all. We try to put everything into that stress bowl so we can look at something, but what we do find is that chronic stress, that prolonged unrelenting stress that people experience, doesn't really cause MS, but what it does is it weakens the immune system, and then over a period of time it can cause the body to malfunction in the way that it's designed to protect itself. Also, there's something that has been researched that's showing very favorable scientific evidence is that even climate seems to have an impact on the development of MS. For example, the rate of MS in Canada is twice as high as that's in the United States, that is in the southern aspect of the United States. MS tends to be more predominant when there's that cold temperature change, that snow, that prolonged period of time in those northern regions. We can go up into Minnesota, the Dakotas and so forth, we find that there is a higher incidence for MS there. But I want to caution everyone when I say that is just because you live in those areas or you live in Canada doesn't mean that the cold is causing the MS, but what it's doing is it's actually causing the immune system to really get into a depressed state, meaning that it's not as responsive. So when it does become responsive, then what happens? It becomes overly responsive. And from some of the research that I found with MS in the areas where the climate actually impacts the potential for MS, what I found that in the diagnoses of MS in those areas, that we're really dealing with some benign MS and we're dealing with some of that reoccurring MS. But again, it doesn't mean if you live in that area, you're going to get that chronic progressive. So I'm going to be talking more about MS throughout the show, but I want to jump right in and let's go in. And hi, Tricia from Chicagoland. How are you today? Hi, Tricia. All right. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. How can I help you?
Well, I'm a 44-year-old with anxiety, and I'm the primary breadwinner of the family. I'm on a sabbatical from work for 5 weeks, and I've been in the business world forever. I'm now a vice president, but I feel my job is killing me.
Right.
I've also been using alternative therapies for the past 20 years just to deal with my anxiety, and I've also been studying progressive muscle relaxation. So I'm afraid of making the leap from the business world to the healing world for money reasons and you know, other
sure.
So I was just calling to see if you had any suggestions or the best route for me.
I do, and I do not so much as a medical intuitive, but I'm going to, from the standpoint of relating to you the way that what I went through. I also was in the corporate world, and I was doing training, again, traveling, and really being in that forefront of the cutting edge of how do we deal with human behavior in the workplace and to make the workplace humane and sane for people who are working long hours. So I really found in that world is that world, while it does foster the survival, you know, responses that we need, it does cause burnout. The one thing, if I may, sweetie, that I pick up in you right off the bat is that would be very, very helpful for you. Do you take vitamin B12, hun?
Not regularly, but I will start taking
Okay,
it.
Would you please? And you don't feel to me like you need shots. You're not that deficient in it. But one of the things is it just feels like it's going to give your cells the vitality that they need to be able to help the brain and the body the way that it needs so you can get more clear, get clear thinking. That's really what it's picking up. That transition from that corporate world, and especially being a breadwinner, I can relate to that, and especially, you know, with the income that you make at the level that you are within an organization, I can appreciate that as well, is to make that leap of faith into that world of being a healer with not having any kind of market base or having any kind of history or credibility behind you other than your own experiences, which are invaluable. But so it takes some grooming to get you to that place.
Well,
and one of the things that I might encourage, do you have a website already, hon?
Well, no, but I was just going to tell you I've been studying progressive muscle relaxation with for about 10 years now. So I just have to finish my certification, and I could start using that.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, I'm going to say something else, is that the federal government in the United States requires companies to mandate money and time for wellness programs. And the area that is so hot right now in the business world is stress management. And so what you're learning with the progressive muscle has history, it has science behind it, it has valid research behind it. It's an excellent way for you to make that entree into the business world. One of the things that we need to do in this world, as you know, is we need to be able to use all the tools we can. The website is something that once you get your certification, you can actually start looking at that now. You could actually start with your Facebook, Twitter, looking at social media to be able to do it. You could create a blog. Blogs are very effective in being able to share your story, what you know. People want to learn. That's something that I found as an author, is that people want to learn how to help themselves. We've moved beyond in our thinking of going to someone and saying, fix me. That's one of the things that doctors are up against. So what I would encourage you to do is, I always say to people, see where you want to be done. Think it done. What do you want this to look like in a year, 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years? And put that plan in place to do that. Look at where the need is there and the money is there, because I can tell you that starving to death and that, you know, trying to chase those dollars and everything just makes it more difficult for the abundance. So if you do some homework, you can do that. And then I would seriously look at going into doing some corporate work, especially with your background, especially knowing the pressure that people are in. You can talk their lingo, and it would be a great place to go.
Okay. All right. So stay where I'm at for now, make a plan, and maybe move into it full-time down the road.
Absolutely, absolutely, and especially, again, excuse me for a broken record, but the fact that you are the breadwinner, honey, I've been there, done that. I basically left corporate work as a consultant and decided I was going to become a medical intuitive. Well, at the time, they didn't even know what that was. I mean, I couldn't even, there was no yellow page listing for it. And I literally went through savings. I went through charge cards. I went through everything. My first gig that I did as a medical intuitive, I had three people at $15 a piece, sweetie.
Wow.
That was a problem.
Yeah.
And that created even more stress. So I can tell you from experience, been there, done that. Put your plan in place. Start letting people know, educate them who you are, the power of the progressive muscle relaxation. Because I'm going to tell you, it is a phenomenal pain management tool, and it's so simple.
Okay, all right. Oh,
and we spend $50 billion a year on over-the-counter and pain management drugs that we could do with some relaxation like you're teaching. So you're right on course. Just lay it out and then move into it gently.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for listening to me get on my bandbox.
All right, thanks.
Okay, you have a great day, honey. Hi, let's go with Sharon. Hi, Sharon from Lexington, North Carolina. How are you, sweetie?
Hi. Oh, gosh, Carol, I'm so grateful. I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm grateful.
I just love to listen to you talk.
Oh.
I'm from Texas, and I miss that southern draw, and I just love it. So anyway, how can I help you, though, sweet?
Oh, thank you. Well, I've been experiencing some health challenges, and I'm 43, just turned in May, and I've been very healthy, thank goodness, about all my life. And just recently, the past month, I've been having some issues in the lower torso area, and mm-hmm. I went to the doctor yesterday, and they ran some lab works, and just waiting to hear from the doctor, and so that's kind of been on my mind. I'm thinking, and I've been allowing myself to get into a state of stress by thinking I don't have a job, and the money's not there, and how am I going to come up with these lab result tests, and what's next? So you know how that spiraling down goes?
Oh, yes, I do.
I don't know what's going on. You've been there, done that, bought the book and wrote it, huh?
And lots of times. So there you go. When you think you've got it one area, you go to another. So anyway, one of the things, sweetie, excuse me for jumping right in, but one of the things is the first chakra, the female area. That could be the uterus. It can be any of the accoutrements that go on down there, the ovaries and so forth. It can be small intestine. Anytime we get into a state of fear around our human survival, which equates to money, equates to loss, a lack of job or whatever it is we create this big energy buildup, kind of like this goo and this congestion down in that area. And then what starts pulling up from our emotional archives within us is how we haven't been able to keep a job or why we're not good enough. And it just brings up all kinds of inadequacies, or it brings up, well, I should have seen this coming. I mean, my gosh, I wasn't even paying attention because I was so, yeah. It goes on and on and on. So in this particular area, the reason I wanted to go there, sweetie, is I would like you to just see in that lower part of your body into the small intestine, and then let's go all the way down into the vaginal area. I would like you to see like this very thick motor oil. It's just energy that's thick, and it's kind of gooey, and it just doesn't seem to do what it's supposed to do. And I would like to see, have you do some visualization about those fears, about that energy just melting away.
Okay.
And the reason that I'm doing that is because you've done so much work to address your inadequacies that you've been conditioned to believe that I would really, and I'm going to use a word I don't use very often, but I would hate to see you get caught up in a fear of old patterns. And when we can visualize things and change the perception, even slightly for a short period of time, it will actually help you continue doing all the work you're doing. So it's a simple process, just thick motor oil, just make it nice, slick like butter, and then keep that visualization, that's you moving forward, and so forth. Now, the test that they ran, what do you want to know about them, sweetie? Do you want to tell me where you want to go with this, sweet?
Well, they ran it on my thyroid, my pancreas, and liver, and kidneys, and my gallbladder is what I'm thinking it might be, but So I'm just kind of wanting to know, I don't know, is it serious? Is it mild? Is it something that could be handled through vitamins? And then, I guess I'm trying to, I want to be healthy because I've been fortunate and I've been healthy so long that, having this and the money thing at the same time, it's like a double whammy. But I guess for now, I'm trying to address the health instead of the money, yeah, like I've been meditating on lately.
Good. And that's, again, why I went in to that first chakra survival part. Let's loosen that up. Let's just get rid of that part energetically. I mean, yes, it's a reality, but let's deal with it energetically. So you're a very good medical intuitive. The area that is causing the discomfort that you're experiencing in the body is your gallbladder. That is accurate. Mm-hmm. And the gallbladder itself, I'm going in and kind of doing my woo-woo bit. I don't actually see a gallstone. It's just inflamed. So what that says to me is that what we're dealing with is we're not dealing with a gallbladder attack or stones that are imminent at this point in time. But for some reason, it's inflamed, and we need to figure out what that inflammation is. And the test should be able to help you with that. But one of the things is that you will most likely be suggested that you watch the foods that you eat, because certain foods you do feel like you're developing a sensitivity to. And what that's doing is it's causing your digestive system to have to work more, work overtime in order to do its job. When they tested the thyroid, you do feel like you're going to be low. You don't feel like you're going to be off of the scale, that medical scale that they use. The pancreas itself, we're not dealing with pancreatitis. The liver waste management plant of the body feels like it's sluggish. That's probably what I was picking up in the small intestine, that lower area, as well. So, but it seems to me that what we're going to end up coming up with is we're just going to have to watch what we eat with that gallbladder is what it's feeling.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. And gosh, that feels so true to me when you just said that. It feels so true.
Well, thank you. Resonates. You're a good medical intuitive, honey.
Oh, could you? Well, I can receive. I don't know if I can give it, but I can receive it.
Well, I'll tell you what, good for you. I can learn from you about this receiving bit.
Oh, you're so precious. I thank you so much, Carol. I just feel so much better, and I really thank you for taking my call and taking a look at me. I do feel a lot better.
Well, you are welcome, and congratulations and good work that you've done in changing your self-perceptions. Really a fun part to bring that forward. So thanks. You have a great day, sweetie. All right, what I want to do now is I want to jump right in. I want to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the psychological aspects of MS and then also some suggestions on how you can work with it to manage it and then to be able to treat it. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Ed Edgar Cayce's perception of multiple sclerosis was that it's a situation where an entity meets itself, meaning all thought is bound by its limitations and all fears are self-actualized. What a powerful quote that is, isn't it? Because really, when we're dealing with so many of the different illnesses that I find as a medical intuitive, I find are really based on the foundation of fear, false expectations actually realized. Well, thank you for joining me and welcome back. If you are just joining me, I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And today I'm discussing the hidden meanings behind multiple sclerosis. And I'm also sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health or you'd like to discuss MS, or if you were a listener on my first part of my show, I had a question about career, so I could share my intuitive skills in a variety of ways. So I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also international callers, dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. If you would like to learn more about MS and how I see it as a medical intuitive, I actually presented a Your Health teleclass on the topic, and I have available for purchase both an audio and a printable PDF on my website, www.ritberger.com, a comprehensive perspective of what MS is and some of the latest research that has been found to be potentially a cause of MS. That's one of the things that they're really trying to find is what is the connection and what can we start to look at and how can we help manage these different things before they occur. I also go into a lot of depth as far as the hidden meanings behind MS from that psychological standpoint, fear, of course, being the first one. It's kind of a double-edged sword. We get fearful that we're going to get sick, and then when we get sick, we get become even more fearful. So if you'd like to actually go in and look at this particular teleclass that I did on MS, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. On the home page, you'll notice at the top of the page, there's a tabs. Just put the cursor over teleclass. There'll be a drop-down menu that says downloads. Just click on that, and it'll take you to the page where you can actually see where MS is. And in fact, I have 27 different featured illnesses that both have an audio and a printable PDF associated with it. Also, there's a try before you buy feature that's going to allow you to listen to a brief excerpt of the audio download. And then there's a page of the printable PDF. What you can do is to be sure that the information that you're going to be receiving is going to be of value to you from the standpoint of making that purchase. So again, please check out my website, www.ritberger.com. I mentioned before in the show that my job as a medical intuitive is to really look at any illness, again, looking at it holistically, meaning looking at illness or whatever the diagnosis is or whatever is occurring in the body from a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint, an emotional standpoint, a spiritual standpoint, meaning energetically, and see if there's any blockages or distorted perceptions or limiting thoughts in any of those areas or malfunction in the physical body that could be causing this, the body to not be able to respond in the healing way that it's designed. So when I go in and I look at that energy body, it really talks to me and provides me all the information that I need to be able to help a person understand what is going on, what's malfunctioning, and what can they do to restore their body back to good health. And even beyond the body, what can they do to restore their life back to the good health or the quality of life that they're looking for. So what I do when I connect with the energy body is it gives me a chance to look for those predictable psychological patterns that I find can be at the root cause of disease. In the case of an energetic evaluation of MS, there are some predictable factors that I've actually seen and pick up energetically that increases a person's susceptibility to the formation of MS. The first factor is the inability to trust themselves or to trust the supportive process of life, meaning trusting that they will have all they need in order to survive, thrive, and flourish. I also find that there's a suppression of creative energies. Every single one of us is absolutely just bubbling over in our brain with all these creative ideas and a very rich, vivid imagination. Yet many times the course that we take in the life or the jobs that we work doesn't allow us to really foster and to develop that creativity and to release those creative energies. And the suppression of those creative energies, I find, causes the body to become overwhelmed and short circuit. There's also a rigidity in thinking. They tend to be strongly opinionated. They have an iron will about them, and they have a rigidity in their behavior. And one of the areas that's in that rigidity of behavior is they're not open to listening or to trying new things. And again, none of these things that I'm saying are of judgment of anybody, but it's to just say that these are the patterns that are associated with MS. Also, there's a great deal of suppressed anger that seems to be within the person. In the case of MS, that anger is self-directed. I mean, we all get angry with people in the outside or outside sphere of influence, that outer world. We're not born angry. Anger is something that we develop as a behavioral protective mechanism in our ability to be able to protect ourselves and to not compromise who we are. But what occurs is that if we suppress our emotions or we suppress ourselves to the point where we don't allow that authentic part of who we are to come forward, then what will occur is that we turn that anger toward ourselves, and then our self-talk becomes very negative, like shame on you, what's the matter with you, you can't seem to get out of your way, you never do anything right, everything that you do messes up. Again, all of those things I find is a precursor to any kind of autoimmune disorder, which of course we do know scientifically now in the research that MS possibly, probably, is part of an autoimmune disorder. They display passive-aggressive behavior, are overwhelmed by responsibility, both for their own life and others. I call that the syndrome of responsibility-itis. Everybody wants to be responsible, be accountable, but sometimes certain personalities tend to take on that responsibility, carry it as if it's their burden, and that burden can break down their zest for life. It can rob them of life, cause them to feel hopeless and helpless, and those are also psychological indicators behind MS. There's also the fear of being alone and not being supported, and the fear of unknown. So when I'm talking about these different psychological factors, the intent is not to make someone feel guilty or to blame themselves because they have MS. It's just a way to be able to look at this holistically and say, oh my gosh, I do that. What can I do to change that? And again, we don't need to start at the very top, that mother of all behavior, but what we do is just start with simple day-to-day changes, because those changes go a long way in helping the body restore itself back to the health that it's desired, that it desires, and actually the body is designed to be able to do in that healing. When it comes to MS, it's important to remember that it's just not one person that's affected, but it affects the whole family. I said that in the first segment, but it was important enough to say it in the second. And then also one of the things I always encourage as a medical intuitive is for someone who believes that they have MS, maybe they have been diagnosed or not been diagnosed, but to go and seek the help of an endocrinologist or a nutritionist, because what we find is what happens in the gut happens in the immune system and also happens in the brain and the electrical system. So nutrition actually plays a very important role in the treatment of MS, and foods that tend to be a problem when it comes to causing the inflammatory reaction in the immune system itself is milk and dairy products, caffeine, yeast products, ketchup, vinegar, wine, corn, and then also a lot of nutritionists will limit the intake of fatty foods. Here's some of the other healing modalities that can really work for minimizing the effect of MS: massage, guided imagery, mild exercise, acupuncture, hydrotherapy, cranial sacral therapy, meditation, reflexology. As I was talking with one of my callers in the first segment of the show, progressive muscle relaxation is extremely effective in being able to relax the muscles and to focus on sending those electrical messages from the brain down to the toes and to the fingers and to the different limbs in the body and everything. Pilates is also a very effective way to keep the limber to keep your body flexible and limber and keep that core part of the body, that root part of us, that lower back, excuse me, mid-back part, and then yoga. I mean, every research that I've ever done about healing modalities and what really is healthy from an alternative choice, I find consistently yoga. Now, it may seem counterintuitive with yoga, with stretching the positions and with MS and the muscles being weak and so forth, but the important part of yoga is it's the mindfulness, and the other part of it is it keeps those muscles flexible so those muscles aren't getting tight and then compressing the nerves in a way that it's creating more problem for the nerves to be able to get the message. And the main thing with yoga is stretching. I always share with people, and it doesn't have to be with MS, but one of the things is we can learn a lot from animals. A cat and a dog that's been sitting or laying down for any length of time, 30 seconds or beyond, always stretches before they take that first step. As humans, we need to do that also. So those are some of the things that I found with MS that really are very helpful. Again, the thing that I find that really seems to be is helpful when it comes to that relapse, that intermittent part of MS and the classification, is that the nutrition is very, very helpful. So if you do have food allergies, as we do know that this may be a potential cause for MS, if you do have food allergies, you'll want to work with someone or avoid the foods that you know that you're allergic to. And the reason for that is because it creates this inflammatory response in the body. All right, I'm going to jump right in. Hi, Claudia. How can I help you, hon?
Oh, hi, Carol. I'm a 60-year-old woman, and I recently made a decision to end a long, long...
Oops, we just lost her. All right, well, maybe she will come back with that, the information on it. So, again, one of the things that I'm going to be doing that I'm going to be presenting in Sacramento, California, just as a test bed for it, and then I'm going to be taking it as an online program, is I'm talking about the going to be doing a program on understanding and healing pain. And the reason it seemed topical to talk about it at this point in time is that with MS, while we do have the muscle weakness and so forth, what we do is we also experience a lot of pain, and pain that seems to just kind of run around the body in any way that it can. It doesn't seem like it has any specific area that it can focus on. So in this particular class on healing and understanding and healing pain, I'm going to be really looking at the scientific aspect, the biological, neurological part of pain, and I'm also going to share some research as far as that pain and gut connection and the microbes in the digestive system. And I brought that up also when I was talking about the MS in this particular show, and then some of the psychological meanings behind pain. So it's kind of a test bed. If you do live in the Sacramento area, or it's something that you would like to get on a plane and have a weekend in Sacramento, it's going to be happening this Saturday, June 23rd, from 9:30 till 5 o'clock in the California area and the Sacramento, greater Sacramento area. You can go on my website, www.ritberger.com, and you'll see in my moving banner at the top of my homepage, you'll actually see a slide on it. Click on it. It'll tell you more about the information. I've also found that there's going to be, I'm having quite a turnout for psychotherapists and marriage and family counselors, therapist, and RNs and LVNs, and the reason for that is because there's 6 continuing education units that are tied to this particular program. So if you would like to learn more about pain and understanding it, and then the different modalities for healing it, then, and you need those continuing education classes, then you might want to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Okay, we've got Claudia back. Hi, sweetie. Let's try this again.
Hi, can you hear me now?
I can. Thank you. So how can I help you, honey?
Okay, so I'm a 60-year-old woman who made the life-altering decision to end a long-term marriage who no longer serves me, and my body started to react. I'm now a little bit, I want you to give me a good, you know, that I'm healthy now that I'll be single and anything else. I'm I feel like I have intolerance to gluten. I cannot eat certain foods anymore or suddenly, like meat, or and I have acid reflux symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I developed eczema on my marriage, on my wedding ring finger.
That's certainly an omen, isn't it, honey?
Oh, my God. And also, Carol, I know you can see beyond medical issues. Do you see a certain someone that could cross my path anytime?
Okay,
I met recently someone, so I want to know if... Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, first of all, wow. You know,
yes.
I have to take a deep breath for you, honey, for you to step out of the marriage, not only because of your need to express yourself, but culturally, that's huge, sweetie. So let's start on that. Congratulations for that, because
thank
I do
you.
Understand the difficulty with it. The other part of it, the things that are happening in your physical body are not because you stepped out of the relationship. My sense is that your soul has reached a place where it's like, oh my gosh, now she's free. Let's get all this irritation out. Let's get all this stuff that she's been holding back, these suppressed emotions, these things that she wants to say. Let's just get it to the light of day. And that's really kind of what the physical body does when we get any kind of skin eruptions at all. What the body is doing is saying that we have an irritant inside that it's got to get out of the body so it doesn't create harm. It pushes it up to the skin. And then when it's at the skin, then of course we're aware that it's there, and then we can work with it topically with creams, or what we can do is we can, you know, just use, you know, calamine lotion, whatever it may be that topical part of what we're doing. So what your body's doing is said, oh my gosh, we've got so much irritation that's inside, inflammation that's built up, that's caused the sluggishness of your digestive system, the sluggishness of your lymphatic system, and it just needs to get to the surface. So this is really the catharsis that is the next phase of what you did in changing the lifestyle and to freeing yourself in a way that, well, it's scary. I understand that. I can feel that in you and that stress that's in you. I mean, who wouldn't? But it's doing that. The other part of it is that in the stomach is a medical intuitive. The metaphor for me is the stomach is, especially when we have GERD or acid reflux, is there's the metaphor is what's eating at you. Something is eating at you. And what it is we know what was eating at you. We know that it's been removed from eating at you, but what it occurs is it causes the physical body to basically mimic what we're dealing with psychologically. So what your soul is saying is that, you know, something has been eating at you, something is irritating you, and it's time for you to find your freedom that you're looking for to be able to move into authentic expression. So really what's occurring in your body, nothing feels like it's a breakdown. It just feels like it's just been pent up for so long, it just needs to get out. And that's what it feels like is happening. When I go into the esophagus itself, sweetie, I have a little bit of irritation in the esophagus, in the hiatal sphincter, that little closing little valve we have between the stomach and the esophagus. Watching the foods that you eat will minimize that inflammation. You might want to look at aloe juice, something that is cooling. You might want to look at Ayurvedic medicine. How would they cool down the pitta, that fire energy? Look at things like that. I would be cautious of a lot of different supplements that you would take, honey. Let your body run its course. It knows what it's need. Stay away from what you are that you're allergic to. Now, the reason I'm kind of rushing, excuse me for that, is I've got only another minute or so, but I do want to address the last question. And that was, Carol, am I going to ever find someone else? Yes, you will.
Or right? This one that stepped into, that just crossed my path, that I just met. Is this something I should consider?
Become friends with this person, because this person is... It literally feels like a transition person. This person embodies a lot of what you've been looking for, and that will give you a chance to see relationships differently. Right now, you aren't ready to commit to a relationship, but I would become friends. I would enjoy the time. I would enjoy the attention. I would enjoy the conversation. I would enjoy being heard. I would view this person for what they're going through, to share what you've gone through, to help him as well. So there's a lot of healing that can take place on both sides. So, well, sorry, sweet. I hate to cut you off, but doggone, I just don't know. You are most welcome, my love. I don't know where this time goes. I absolutely love this. I hope you do too. And I hope that you find the information of value. If you would like to listen to this show again, then please come to my website, www.ripberger.com. I'll see you next week on the radio. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to The Carol Ripberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ripberger.com. That's www.ripberger.com. See you soon.
Long ago, before this day's confusion did begin, throughout the stars did we go wandering. Distance was